You know, some of the best news from Jesus Christ concerned the privilege of speaking in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Christ also instructed his disciples to visualize God as both generous and wise in the blessing of good gifts upon those who come into his presence in prayer. Now, I want to clarify something. This isn't one of those health, wealth, and prosperity homilies either. As the Bible passage said, God encourages us to be persistent in our efforts to pray. And as you know, it is difficult to pray at times, whether you've got some crisis going on or perhaps you've got a, you know, under time slot and you're saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to get to pray right now, but I'll wait. And most of the time that wait never comes around. And we tend to scoot prayer off to the side. But prayer is so important. It's by seeking and searching not only for the gifts of God, but for divine guidance and assistance as we encounter the hurricanes of life. Christ always prioritized prayer in his life and ministry. Should we do any less? Christ assumed his disciples would pray and made this assumption because of God's generosity and their spiritual poverty. You know, we talk about poverty in the world around us, but you know what? We'd all qualify for spiritual food stamps because sometimes our spiritual poverty really goes to rock bottom. And that's why some people quit coming to church or they quit participating in things because they just have dried up, and that's where they don't make the connection to God daily in their lives. And it's almost like the illustration of a lamp, a table lamp. What good is it if it's not plugged in? Well, that's the way it is for a Christian who's not plugged into God daily. The light bulb will never come on. But so we have to keep that stoking, our spiritual life stoking, because God wants to have a daily connection and relationship with each and every one of us. Because Christ did this as far as praying, because he knew for the disciples the problems that they would face down the road. If you read the book of Acts, you will see what Peter, John, all of them, Philip, they all encountered, and later Paul in their ministry. And so we have to think, well, we're not any better than they are. And it doesn't mean they're going to throw stones at you. It can be little things that pop up. You know, it may be a surprise hospital bill, or it may be something related to family members, or various aspects to that. Boy, you'd better make sure you have your faith account built up, because if not, it can knock you off your saddle. It really, really can. And so, you know, Christ knew those problems and the tasks that were awaiting them, and he reminded them that their prayers were to be offered to God, up to God, similar as a child who requests something from a parent. And this is the importance of our relationship to God and his relationship to us in a parent-child image. I was reading, you know, as I was reading the scripture there, that, you know, would you offer your son a stone when he asked for bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? Well, they wouldn't have to worry about that because I'm frightened to death of snakes, so the snake issue would be not even considered. But we have to remember that, yeah, for love's sake, God will do so many things for us that sometimes we're not even aware of it. We're not even aware of it. So we must remember that the disciples were taught by Christ to follow his example. God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. That's what Christ told them. And it is possible to receive untold blessings because of prayer. Because of prayer. How many of you sometimes feel like your prayers don't get above the ceiling in your house? Well, it happens to all of us. But Christ encourages us to continue. You remember the parables like the woman who nagged the judge all the time for something and finally he gave in? Now, it's not that we nag God, but the point is God seeks for us to come to him daily with things and issues which we feel like need to be answered. And God will answer them in his own way. We all hunger for an awareness of the presence of God and an assurance of God's love. Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience testify that the more we seek to draw near to God in prayer will result in blessings from heaven and in abundance too. Truthfully, and I'm going to say this, we are the ones who are required to move closer to God, since God never moves in the first place. God has stayed there, but we are the ones who move away from God. And people, I've heard people say, oh, I feel so distant from God and everything. Well, whose fault is that? It's our own fault, because we don't maintain a daily prayer life in connection to God. And some people feel like absolute strangers to God, and they don't read their Bible the way they should. So many things mount up to growing distant with God, and we never want that to happen. You know, all of us have certain basic needs that only God can satisfy. And remember this, your needs may be totally different than your spouse, your children, your neighbor, your person sitting next to you in the pew. That's why God created us in his own image, because we do have individual needs, and we seek God out, hopefully, to help us out when we need the help most often, you know. And so Christ, again, encourages us to come boldly before the throne of providence that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. You know, it's enlightening to know that we are loved by a God of grace rather than a God of wrath and judgment. I have a friend who's a preacher, and all he preaches on is God is a God of wrath and turns God into an ogre. God is not an ogre. If he was, guess what? We would have never had him come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ in the first place. That's how much God loves us. So God will grant mercy, something that isn't deserved, but he is eager to grant it to us. Their grace may be found in our time of need, as those who have developed the habit of praying discover. And likewise, Christ emphasized to his disciples to forgive those people who sinned against them. A discovery of unforgiven grievances causes Christians to lose their joy of their faith and salvation. I would say the biggest stumbling block for most of us is to forgive others who have done us wrongly. You think about that. When your toes are stepped upon, somebody says a snide remark, or there's something going on there, it's hard to forgive people like that. And guess what? We are expected to do so. Even though there may be a lump in our throats, get it out and tell God, I need your Holy Spirit to help me forgive so-and-so, because on my own, I cannot do it. And truthfully, we cannot do it on our own. We do require the presence of the Holy Spirit. Full reconciliation becomes a reality because of seeking God and finding forgiveness through repentance. And while we pray, again, I say this with utmost seriousness, it is with an acute awareness that the Holy Spirit nudges us in the direction of doing good works and deeds in God's name. The Holy Spirit fills us with wisdom, who through faith will take over to lead, guide, and empower. None of us can do it on our own. We are not Lone Ranger Christians. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will go before you, will walk with you, and behind you in all things. All you have to do is acknowledge that God's power through the Holy Spirit is there for us. Remember, Christ said when he left, the Holy Spirit would be our comforter. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And in our hour of need, the Holy Spirit will come to our aid. You remember Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian, whose family hid Jews in World War II in the Netherlands. They all got arrested by the Gestapo. They ended up in a concentration camp. She and her sister Betsy were together. And in fact, it was lice-ridden, had all fleas in the barracks. It was a horrible existence. And yet those two women coped with a lot of that. And somebody smuggled a Bible in, a small two testament Bible. Corrie put a rope around it and she wore it around her neck because she dared not leave it in the bunk during roll call because the concentration camp's guards would have discovered it. And so she wore that around her throughout her stay in the concentration camp. But once she was faced with something that could have gotten her into trouble big time, the guards were telling them they had to go take a shower. They were going to be deloused with DDT. So they had to pull off their dresses, if you want to call it, that were flea and ticks and all kinds of stuff, lice ridden. And they didn't have any clothes on and standing in front of male guards. How humiliating was that? But Corrie realized that Bible was around her neck. What was she to do? What was she going to do? She couldn't hide it. All of a sudden, she prayed, God, send your Holy Spirit to surround me. Guess what? Her sister who was in front of her was searched thoroughly, passed on. The woman behind her was searched likewise. Corrie was overlooked. Is that not the power of God through the Holy Spirit at work? Yes. And Corrie, if you ever read her life story, you will see where there were other incidents happen. But all Corrie did was say a simple prayer. It wasn't abracadabra or signs and wonders. It was just a simple prayer to God to protect her in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so that's important for us to remember. And you know what? I'm sure most of us have had close calls at one time or another, but most of the time, we're not even aware of it. You just think in your life the protection that God gives you every day. When you step out of your house or you walking down the street, God is there with you. And ask for God's protection all the time. That's how important it is. But those who neglect the privilege and habit of prayer grieve the Holy Spirit. We ignore the Holy Spirit completely. And Christ told us never to do that. People rob themselves of the rich blessings of God and deprive others of the blessing that they could be as a better person of faith. I said this earlier. Remember, are you a better person of faith and walk closer to God today than you did yesterday? Think about that. Has your faith grown just in 24 hours? If it's where it was a year ago, then you need to do something about it. And what do you need to do? Start praying and reading the Bible daily. That will give you the spiritual vitamins you need to strengthen you. And, you know, as I said earlier, the hurricanes of life will pound on each of us. If anybody's problem-free in this sanctuary, I want you to raise your hand and tell me. Because we all have problems. Not a one of us can get out of this world alive without a problem. And that's the thing about it, learning to cope with it. And we have the answer down here in the Bible in regard to that. We experience guidance as we develop this habit of prayer with God. If we neglect to pray, we deprive ourselves of a supernatural understanding to deal with the circumstances that may entrap us daily. So God always takes the initiative, whether it's through prayer, faith, or even salvation. God always takes the initiative. Why? We're fickle. That's to say the least. We may have good thoughts about it, good intentions, but hey, if God would make the initiative in the first place, we would be a pretty sad lot of people, wouldn't we? And that's what God does, because God loves us so much that he sent us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So why not give it a try? It will only make you a stronger, dedicated, and committed Christian. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes in our walk in life, we tend to forget that you are the one who is the initiator of all things. Yes, we want to be in control all the time. Our society says so. Schools tell us to do so. But in reality, we need to step back and allow you to take over the controls. Because without you, we're nothing. Guide and lead us, O Lord, from this moment on, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.